All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Monday, July 28th of 2025. Looking ahead here, we had some League of Legends action earlier this morning. We had some tennis action earlier this morning. Later this evening, we'll have a two-game WNBA main slate as well as a 12-game MLB main slate. So it should be a fun day of DFS. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in any one of those days. Get your questions answered. Quick update, we will only be having office hours Monday through Wednesday of this week. So just wanted to let you guys know about that early. I remind you as the week goes on. But for today, let's get SaberSim pulled up here. And we are going to pull up the upcoming MLB main slate just to get this up on the screen here. So we'll get SaberSim rocking and rolling. And then we will jump into questions. So I had a number of questions come in really today, which is great. We will answer all of these and just knock them out one by one. See a question here in the YouTube chat already as well. So let me get all these queued up and then we will jump right in. All right, one more question to go. Cool. So let's go back to our first question of the day. Question says, why do I get higher Saber score values in my 25-cent lineups than I get in my $3 lineup snakes? So let's just talk about what Saber score is, right? So Saber score, and we go over to a build here, and we'll run some lineups so we can actually talk about Saber score. All right, make our two adjustments. Oh, let's just run 500 lineups. Click build. So we'll send this off. All right. And we're just waiting for these lineups to run. Cool. Build is running. Build is finishing up. All right. So we're in the build now, right? We're in the post build. What I want to do here is I just want to go to SaberScore real quick. So when you go to SaberScore, right, you can go to the SaberScore. And we'll pull that back up. And then you can click these eye icons. This tells you what SaberScore values are being used, okay? So like when your contest is... Say your 25-cent contest, you know, for instance, I'm just making up examples here, is a 17,000 entrant contest, right? In that case, what we're going to do is we're going to value upside more and projection less, right? So here in a larger contest, percentile has a 0.7 weight and average projection, which is lower than your percentile score. 99th percentile for a lineup means that we built all the lineups and then we went back into the sims that we used. And then we effectively made a graph of the lineup and saying, hey, you know, what is this lineup's range of outcomes, right? It's like, oh, well, 1% of the time, you know, this lineup as a whole scores, say, 150 points, right? For example, the average projection of the lineup might be 90, 95, right? So we're looking at like the tail end where when we see how good the lineup does, like at its top range, right? So if you're playing a larger contest, we're going to value that more because you need to beat more lineups. Let's say you're playing like a $3 single entry, for instance, right? And I don't know if you're playing that. I'm just making up examples. Now, maybe it is like 700 entries, right? Okay. Well, the Sabre score in that case is going to actually favor some projection a little bit more. So you can expect the Sabre score values for the large slate 100 to 1K to be a little bit smaller than they will be for the large slate 10K to 50K. And that is true like up and down the board here. So the more entrants, the more we are going to value the percentiles. And when the percentile weight goes up and the average projection weight goes down, that'll lead to higher Saber scores. So that may be what you're seeing here. That is my best guess as to what is going on. All right. Next question. Can you go through the late swap process for FanDuel only? Desktop and mobile would be great. It's not the swapping in SaberSim that is the issue, but rather getting them uploaded into FanDuel once contests are live. If there is a video that I've overlooked that addresses this specifically, uploading it to FanDuel once live for desktop/mobile, then my apologies for overlooking it, and please direct me to that if you would. Thanks. Yeah, for sure. We could talk about this. So we do have tutorials on this, but we will walk through the tutorials. So if you go to top right menu, go to help. Okay, you open this up. You go to SaberSim tutorials. So if you go to how to late swap, there, okay, I think this would be a DK file. So what you can do is you go to how to enter your lineups into your contest on desktop, how to enter your lineups into your contest on mobile/phone. There are FanDuel-specific tutorials in each of these, okay? So like on desktop, for instance here, let's play this. So the big thing, the big difference between this one and late swap is that when you get to FanDuel, okay, like I'm on FanDuel here, pre-slate, you are in the upcoming tab. In late swap, you are in the live tab. Okay, so the difference here is when pre-slate, you're going to upload, you're going to click CSV edit in the upcoming tab. When the slate is in progress, there is going to be a CSV edit button in the live tab. Okay, so you're going to use the one in the live tab, right? Now, on mobile, it can be a little bit trickier to find the CSV edit button, okay? Takes a little bit more work sometimes to get that button to be visible. So on mobile, I'm going to get to FanDuel here. Okay, so you're going to find yourself in a situation like this where, and first off, you need to access FanDuel through a mobile browser, right? You cannot do this on the FanDuel app that you download from the Apple or Google app stores. You need to be on like Chrome, for instance, and then sign into your FanDuel account that way. So that's the first thing. Notice here, live and upcoming will look kind of similar in this instance, where when you open it by default, you're actually not going to see the CSV edit button. Okay, you actually have to do a couple things in order to get the button to appear, all right? Now, in my experience, I've had the most reliable solution for me has been zooming out on my browser to as low like a percent as your phone goes and using landscape mode, okay? Those are like the two big things that I've found to work really well. I believe Jordan is going to do something similar here in this demo. So what he did, he clicked desktop site. I think this is an option maybe on Androids. You can change it to the desktop site. And then when you change it to the desktop site, the CSV edit becomes available. I use an iPhone. I've never used that button before. I'm actually haven't checked if there is one possible. What I normally do is I use Safari and I will zoom out to like 50% zoom and then turn it to landscape, and then the CSV edit button appears for me. So mobile sucks more because the button isn't visible by default. The button is visible by default on desktop, upcoming, and live. All right, next question. Ever since the Portfolio Plus update, feels as if the Sims are leaning way more into chalky offensive stacks. If I try to reduce exposures by making rules or excluding them entirely, the builder then begins not being able to diversify some lineups, not meet my exposure settings, etc. How can I find more leverage while still getting positive ROI lineups from the builder? If this is a better question for support, I can move it there. Okay, so part of this, there's a couple things here. If you are completely excluding a stack pre-build, like I am saying, like, hey, I don't know, who's the highest team total today? I don't want to play Atlanta, right? Okay, you like literally you go to Atlanta, you X them off, you apply it, and then you rebuild lineups. If this is causing the diversifier to fail, that is a bug. And what I would do is please, please send us a report and tell us that's happening to you. Now, if it's just having trouble, if you run a build and then you X them and it's having trouble meeting your exposures, what I would do is I would just use rebuild lineups, okay? Should be able to rebuild lineups. You should get none of the players on this team after doing so. And then from there, you know, your lineups should still run and diversify. Okay. As long as they're building, running, diversifying, it's good. Now, if you're trying to somewhat like hijack the diversifier, you know, the diversifier is not great at meeting exposures. Okay, especially when you start to set like a lot. One thing we've told users is that if you are somebody who is setting a lot of exposures, probably better to use uniques rather than portfolio. Okay. Along with that, something you can do to alter the contest sim results is like hijack the projections. And when I say hijack the projections, I am mostly referring to changing team totals. So like you say you want to get off of Atlanta and Texas. Okay. The best way to do that. And we'll just, you know, for instance here, let's just see what the builder does after diversifying. So we'll run an example. So here, right. I'm sorting by projected runs. Highest exposures are Atlanta and Texas. Okay, well, let's say I don't want to play this much Texas, right? I would lower their team total. Now, you can start with like half a run. You could do a full run. You could do whatever you want, right? I'm going to do a full run for the sake of the example, okay? So I'm going to lower the team total of Texas. One run from 5.6 to 4.6. And then the next important thing I need to do, I need to go to the players tab. I need to switch my projection source from SaberSim to SaberSim Adjusted, which has my team total adjustment in it. And then I would click apply just to make sure it goes through. We don't need to diversify right now. That was an accident. And then I would rebuild the lineups. Okay. So I'm going to rebuild the lineups with the input that we are not as high on Texas as SaberSim is. The reason we're doing this is because, one, this will impact the number of lineups that are built with that team. And then, two, that also gets taken into account, the team total adjustment, in the contest sims. So however much the players move, that's going to hurt their results in the contest sims and therefore probably effectively lower their exposures. So we're just using the team exposure as like our measuring stick in this instance. So previously we had 40% Texas. We are going to run this and then we will see how much Texas we end up with. All right, this build is finishing up. Okay, let's let this sim run. I'm gonna let the diversifier run. Okay, cool, everything ran. So let's go to team stacks. So Texas previously 40% is now down to 30% and it is now tied with two other teams in both Atlanta and Houston at 30% with Seattle trailing very closely behind at 25%. So now this is a lot flatter, right? It was a lot more concentrated before. So that team total adjustment did help. It didn't, you know, completely get rid of them, but it did effectively lower their exposure. So you can play around with that. You know, you can go, you can do a bigger negative adjustment, right? Maybe you want to do 1.5 runs. You know, it is okay to like play with this and mess around, right? Like, okay, what happens if I do half a run? What happens if I do one? What happens if I do two, right? You can kind of get a feel for the changes that come along with those adjustments. But that's probably where I would start, okay? That is going to be one of the easiest ways to get off of teams. And then if there's a team you want to get to, right? Maybe you want to get to more Milwaukee. Okay, well, then you go and then you do the inverse, right? You boost Milwaukee and then see how much more exposure you're getting to them. So that's probably the best resource, in my opinion, to kind of achieve what you're trying to achieve. All right. Next question. When looking at different contests for any sport and contest flashback and sorting by sim ROI, what top sim ROI percentages in a contest should I be looking for to indicate a good contest to enter or vice versa, ones to avoid? All right, good question. So in my opinion, you know, if the highest ROIs available are single digits, that's going to be like a really hard contest to beat. Especially long-term, right? Not always going to be the highest sim ROI unless you have like your process down pat, but even then a little bit of variance there. So I always try and look for contests with double digit achievable sim ROIs, you know, preferably 15% plus, you know, feels like really good. If there's one or two people over, you know, 10% and 11% and they're the only two, you know, that still feels bad, right? So if you're seeing contests with 5 to 10 players over 10% sim ROI, probably a fine contest to play. So the higher the sim ROIs, the better. The more players over the 10% threshold, also the better. All right, good question there. Next question. In regards to sim diversity slider, what should I expect to see in my MLB lineups by changing it from, let's say, 7 to 9 more players in the pool? Just curious as to how Sabre handles this slider. Okay, good question. So what the sim diversity slider does is it controls how many sims get used every time we build a lineup, right? Now, the more sims that are used, the better a player has to perform across multiple sims in order to make it into a lineup. When you use less sims, which you would be doing by going from 7 to 9, now a player has to perform good less of the time in order to make it into lineups. Okay? This is where we're moving further away from average projections and closer to using a single sim to build lineups, right? That's which is what 10 would be doing. I would say that you could probably expect more players in your player pool at 9 than at 7, because there are going to be instances where players grade out well over, say, 3 sims, but don't grade out so well over, for example, 10 sims, which is closer to what 7 would be using, right? Just like more sims. So I think that if you were to run this, and you could test this, right? You could run different builds and see that 7 will give you a little bit smaller player pool. 9 might give you a bigger player pool. You also might see, I think you're going to see a little bit more concentrated exposures at 7, maybe, than at 9, too, for kind of the same reasons, right? When the player pool goes down, then you still have the same number of lineup spots available in your entries. So those are like the big things I think you'll see there. But there are just going to be some players that show up with 9 that you're probably not going to get with 7, because maybe they perform well across 3 sims, but not across 10, right? And that doesn't mean you shouldn't play them. But our backtesting has, you know, figured out how often a player needs to show up good in order to be a good play over the long run, right? Which is why on like a big game, I think it's 12 games today, it's set to 7. So I think it's okay to move the slider, you know, 1 or 2 ticks if you want. I wouldn't be going from like 7 to 2 or like 7 to 3, right? But if you want to go from 7 to 8, 7 to 6, maybe 7 to 9, maybe, totally up to you. All right. Good questions so far. A lot of good questions. We already built some lineups here, so we'll run through these and see if we're going to make any adjustments and see how the builder is handling all this. So we did make a team total adjustment, right? We'll kind of roll with that. Like, hey, maybe we're a little bit lower on Texas than some people. Okay. Lineups are still well correlated. 5-2s, 5-3s dominating stack exposures. I like to look at my 5 stacks just because, you know, you're playing a 5-2. All stacks treats a 2 and a 5 equally, right? Well, we kind of need to know, like, hey, who's the big stack here, right? Kind of interesting. Like here, for instance, right? 3 teams at 30%. Well, Houston is actually our biggest 5 stack. And it's only one more lineup in this case, but they do stand out a little bit, you know, from the other two who were both originally projected higher, right? So Houston, 15% 5 stacks. Getting mostly Seattle 2 stacks, right? So like that's also interesting. Like, oh, Seattle, you know, 25% right behind these guys. Well, it's actually like a lot of 2 stacks, right? 15% is making up the 2 stacks here. 15% Houston making up 2 stacks as well. 10% Atlanta 3 stacks. So kind of spread out, right? We're seeing Atlanta 2s, we're seeing Seattle, Houston, Texas. I'm sorry, we're seeing Atlanta 3s, Seattle, Houston, Texas 2s, and then kind of a mix at the 5s. So pretty spread out here. I think it's kind of okay the way this all looks, especially to me. It looks fine. But just good, right? We're just getting a little bit more granular. We're making sure we understand what our lineups look like and that we agree with the spread here. I go over to pitchers. Okay, we got DeGrom, Framber. We got some Carson Wisenhunt, not a name I'm like super familiar with here, but I believe he's coming up for the Giants to make his debut today. So maybe he's in a good spot. Maybe his salary's a little low. Who knows? A little bit under on Sanchez. That's okay. You know, like half the field seems fine. So all in all, not too many stands. One big stand on DeGrom, but he's the highest value pitcher, highest projected pitcher. So he seems totally fine. Go over to batters. No batter in more than 30%. That's Josh Smith. And then he is actually the only batter at 30%. Quickly falls to 25. And then these are all the teams we were seeing, right? Trammell, Seager, Riley, Houston, Texas, Atlanta. So Houston, Texas, Atlanta dominating, and Seattle dominating like all exposures over 20%, which you would expect, right? Goes with your stacks. So this makes a lot of sense to me. I don't see anything that I feel is super weird. Then we see a bunch of teams start to fall in line here around 15%. Pittsburgh, Boston, Dodgers, Phillies, right? All of that looks okay to me. So again, we're doing QA here. We're making sure everything looks fine. If there's something we don't like, right? Like the Texas thing. Hey, we ran a build. We had 40% Texas. We didn't like it. We made an adjustment to projections, and then we rebuilt our lineups, and then we reanalyzed it, right? You can do this. You can iterate on these builds until, you know, you get them kind of to your liking. All right. With that said, we are caught up with questions here in both office hours and the chats here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern, for our next show. So until then, everybody, take care. Good luck. Thanks. Bye.